All right, Proverbs chapter 24 this morning. Just share another thing or two about the country of Myanmar. Blessed to have been there twice now. And as Pastor Spurbeck mentioned, first time 4 years ago with my son Levi, we had a great time and got to go up and down through the country. It's an interesting place, but certainly a needy country. Buddhism dominates there throughout the country. It's not just the religion, it's almost like a way of life. The culture revolves around that. Country that, beginning back in 1962, all foreign missionaries were expelled from the country. That began about a 50-year time period of either dictatorship or military rule. They're very similar to each other over the country. About 10 years ago, to summarize it a little bit, some opportunities opened up for missionaries to get back into the country. It reminded me of the USSR when it opened up in the late 80s, early 90s, and the great opportunities that were there. I was in Bible college at that time. By the way, I was in Bible college through my time with I don't know how many fellow students from Tabernacle Baptist. I mean, there were many. Scott and Carrie and Steve Harvey and many, many others. So I'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. But nonetheless, hearing and going to a country that had been so closed and now there's opportunities to get in, the Lord used that with other things to solidify that's where we're headed. So we're excited about that. Lord willing, we'll head over the end of January. We're just waiting on our visas, but so they're 11 and a half hours later than us. I know that's strange, half hour, but it's one of those places. So I just sent a message this morning to the national pastor, Pastor Tong, who we'll spend our first term with in the city of Yangon. There are 8 million people there in that city. He's working with us with a lawyer to submit our visas. And so we had good news that step one of the visa process was approved. So they accepted the e-business application, and now it's just the receiving the actual visa approval back. So step one was a blessing. We heard about that this morning. And so that's really the only thing that we would be waiting for in order to leave as planned the last Monday of next month. So it's getting close, and we're very excited about that. So, but yes, Myanmar, that's Southeast Asia, 55 million people in the country. The largest city used to be called Rangoon, now Yangon. The city names got changed along with the country name for a number of reasons about 40 years ago. Definitely a country in a difficult spot right now in a lot of ways, but certainly financially there's a lot of volatility right now in the country. So we're praying for the believers there to stay faithful during this time. There has been quite a bit of people leaving for other countries, even in trying to make their way to America. We often think about how things are not so hot right now in the States, but it's still a country that many, many, many people in the world would love the chance to get to. And so it helps us be thankful for what we have. So interestingly enough, the old-time missionaries, it took them a five-month sea voyage to get to countries like this. When Jennifer and I went there last year, from the time we left our house till we got to our place over there was 30 hours. So in one sense, travel and getting to places around the world is by far, obviously far easier than it's ever been. But our prayer is that and those responding to the Lord's call, whether here or abroad, would increase. As the population of the world increases, the need for the gospel increases. And so we're just grateful for this opportunity. One other thing I'll show you here that I'm excited about is through the course of the last maybe 10 years or so, a couple pastors from the States really got burdened for Myanmar. So they would make kind of regular trips over there and work with some of the national pastors that are there. Well, during the course of one of those trips, these men met a Buddhist monk, and he was listening as the gospel was presented, and the truth about God, the God of the Bible, the one true God, and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the course of time there and talking with him a lot, this Buddhist monk turned from his idolatry and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. So that was a great blessing. So the pastor there asked this former Buddhist monk, now a believer, would you share your testimony? Would you write that out for us? And can we share that with others? And he said, gladly. And so the pastor there took this Buddhist monk's testimony and incorporated it as the introduction to this gospel track here called The True Enlightenment. Now, the Buddhists are seeking enlightenment in this generic, general way, the scripture points out in John 1:9 that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true light. So enlightenment, salvation is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because Buddhists come from such a different mindset, he wanted this gospel tract to be long and plenty of explanation. So it's 16 pages here, begins with the testimony of the Buddhist monk coming to the Lord. Then it goes into the true nature of the living God, the true nature of man, the destiny of man, and the Savior of mankind, that he's a living Savior, a coming Savior, and lastly, the only Savior. And so it's a wonderful tract that ends with, he can be your Savior. And so that was a blessing to have that in English. Well, he got a hold of our national pastor friend, Pastor Tong, and said, would you translate that into Burmese? And so Pastor Tong did. So we have back there the Burmese version of the same gospel track. It's really nice. It's on this glossy paper. And here's the thing. They found a printer in the country of Burma, Yangon, the big city, that's printing these for only 7 cents a copy. So there's no shipping involved, and he's printed these and has printed several hundred thousand of them already, and the few like-minded churches there around the country are distributing these, but he also has printed many more when he made that run. So there's several hundred thousand in boxes, like Bible boxes, in boxes in the printer's warehouse just waiting for people to come along and get these out. And so I'll be honest with you, it's really an answer to prayer, because as we're going to be going over there to learn the Burmese language, it's a challenging language to learn, but we're grateful that while we're learning the language, it's not just going to be sitting in a classroom somewhere for 8 hours a day for 2 years, but we'll be able to learn how to say hello, which we can say hello in Burmese. Mingalaba, in case you were wondering. Mingalaba. Any Burmese in here? Like, oh, I know. Hello. No. Anyway, we can say that, and we can smile, and we can give them the plan of salvation in their own language. And we're grateful that we have this tool now. And so we look forward to, and we're glad the Lord's letting us start in a city with 8 million people, because we're not going to run out of people to talk to and to learn to speak with and to give the gospel out to. So we're excited about this. And I say this in places that we go to. Bible Tracts in Illinois is taking up the English version printing of these tracts. We have quite a few of them with us. If you know someone who has who's maybe Buddhist or practices, or say they practice Eastern religion, or maybe a friend, family member, maybe a place of business, you're welcome to take these, and I can get more for you if you need. If this can be a tool that can be used, praise the Lord. And I will get more and get them sent here. Like I said, I know the man running Bible Tracts now. I saw him a couple weeks ago. He says, do you need any more of the English version of the True Enlightenment? He said, I'll get those to you. So I'll pass that along. I'll get those for you. So excited about that. That's back there on the table. You can take a look at those there as well. Talk a little bit more about the country tonight. I want to get into our scripture here this morning in Proverbs chapter 24. And we'll read through the end of the chapter, they're beginning with verse 30. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. The Bible here says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Keep your finger there. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10. That passage may have reminded you of these same words that were used earlier in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10, where these words are first given, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. But the context of these passages that have the same words in Proverbs 6 and in Proverbs 24 are different. In Proverbs 6, we have the example of an animal, actually, that is taking their responsibility seriously, and they are diligent about what needs to be done. And when it's time to be busy gathering their food in the harvest time, they're doing it. We see that here in verse 8, Proverbs 6, 8. This is the ant, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So we have an example of someone that's something, actually, that is being productive and diligent. Turn now back to Proverbs 24. In the passage that we read here, we have a field that is not doing what it was meant to do. And we have a vineyard that's not producing the grapes it was meant to produce. And so when this field is viewed and the vineyard is viewed, it says in verse 31 again that it was all grown over with thorns. And nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. And I like this verse, 32. Then I saw and considered it well. In other words, he said, I learned the lesson from this. Often the Lord wants us to learn a lesson from things that are said and preached. But if we're not really thinking about it, God's truth can pass by and like it's never even been said before. So there's a pause here in the middle of this short passage. And the writer here, the human writer of Proverbs, says, I thought about this and I considered the effects and the great loss that happened when this field that was supposed to be producing crops that would be feeding people and this vineyard that was supposed to be producing grapes that would give people good nutrients and things to drink wasn't doing it. And I thought about it and I considered it well. That's verse 32. It's just a pause for us to slow down and think about what we're hearing and learn from it. And I think that's good for us as we come to church or even to our Bible reading, pause and let's consider what's being said here. What does this mean to me? Well, the last two verses here give us the reason for why this field and this vineyard were not producing, and it was this in verse 33. Notice the word that's repeated three times in verse 33. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come. So the issue here is not that a man said, I am sick and tired of working in this field. I'm never going to do it again the rest of my life. I'm tired of it. Somebody else can do it. I'm tired of tending to these grapes in this vineyard. This work is getting old to me. I'm done here. He's not saying that. He's not rejecting his responsibility. All he's doing is saying, I just am going to get to that a little bit later. Just a little bit later. I've got something. I know that's important, but I'll get to it in just a little bit. What happened was that little neglect of what he was to be doing compounded, and it grew. And it grew so much to where the field was covered not with good crops, but with nettles and thorns. And even the stone wall that marked off that field as a special place had been neglected so long that it was broken down. People could hardly even know that that was a field that was supposed to be producing anything worthwhile anymore. It just looked like just no man's land because somebody wasn't there tending to it. And that person didn't say, I'm done with it. They just simply neglected it. Heavenly Father, I pray in our brief time here together this morning that's left in our service that we would be in tune to your word as it's given. Challenge us from it, Lord. Help us to take a look, and as the scriptures say here, to consider it well, to consider areas in our life that can be susceptible to this very same neglect that happened here in this passage of scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you name me? There's a brief essay. Can you name me? I was never guilty of wrong action, but on my account, lives have been lost, trains have been wrecked, ships have gone down at sea, cities have burned, battles have been lost, and governments have failed. I never struck a blow, nor spoke an unkind word, but because of me, homes have been broken up. Friends have grown cold. The laughter of children has ceased. Wives have shed bitter tears. Brothers and sisters have forgotten each other. Fathers and mothers have gone brokenhearted to their graves. I have intended no evil, but because of me, talent and genius have come to nothing. Courtesy and kindness have failed, and the promise of success and happiness has yielded sorrow and disaster. I have no sound but my silence, no children except grief and disaster. You may not on the instant call me by my name, but surely you are personally acquainted with me. I am neglect. And this passage here describes someone that didn't just reject their responsibility and turn their back on it. They just neglected it a little bit and then a little bit more before it came to nothing. The word neglect means to give little attention to, to leave undone through carelessness. And carelessness is a temptation that's around the corner for every single one of us if we're not very careful. Last summer I was with our kids. We were in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and it was only a couple hour drive away from a part of history that I really wanted to see because we were only 2 hours away, and that is where Washington crossed the Delaware on Christmas night, 1776. That is as American of a story as you could ever imagine. And it really turned the tide in the spirit of the Revolutionary War in those early days when they were nearly done. They were hopeless, helpless. But Washington's brave move to do that and that little victory that he had there across the river in Trenton, New Jersey, inspired many, many men to stay true to the cause and to join the cause. So it was late one night. It was about 8:30, and we were winding the day down, and I told my wife, we're only 2 hours away from where Washington crossed the Delaware. What do you think? She says, I know what I'm thinking, and I know what you're thinking, and we're not thinking the same thing. I said, well, let's see what the kids think. I'm like, hey, kids, who wants to? And they're like, yes. She's shaking her head. There he goes again. She knew I was going to do it too. So we were with some other friends and they had kids. My other friends are like, you're what? And the kids are like, yeah, so hop in. So I think 7 or 8 of us piled in our car. Not our car, sorry. That sounds like really like breaking the law. Our SUV that I think fit that many people. Anyway, and we headed east and got to the Delaware at about 10:30 at night. I dropped the kids off on the Pennsylvania side, said, walk across that bridge. This is McConkie's Ferry. This is where General Washington crossed the Delaware. And you guys get to cross the Delaware. So they walked across. I go to the other side, pick them up. It's, I don't know, by that time, 11 o'clock, I said, we're only 45 minutes from downtown Philadelphia. Have you guys ever seen Independence Hall? They're like, no. I said, who wants to? Yes. I didn't dare tell my wife about that. I'm like, she can find out that later. Because I'd get the double head nod or I don't know. Anyway, we know each other by now. So down we went to Independence Hall. Everybody out, get your picture. There's these two, you know, guards out there. I'm thinking, what is this group doing here at 11:45 at night? We're getting a picture of Independence Hall. And then I said, well, we got 2 hours to back home, but Have any of you guys ever had a real Philadelphia cheesesteak? No, I know just the place. It's just 20 minutes from here. So at about 12:30, they're eating cheesesteaks in downtown Philadelphia. Could care less about the danger that really surrounded all of us at that time. But on the way back, I took the opportunity to say, do you know how the Battle of Trenton was won and lost? Well, it was really won. We could say that was God's providential hand, if you know the story. That should not have been a successful maneuver by Washington. The three groups that tried to get across, two didn't even make it. Only his group made it across, and you know the terrible weather, and they went south, and they were late getting there. Someone had seen them and taken a letter of warning to Colonel Rall, the Hessian general that was working for the British to protect the city of Trenton. They handed him a letter. But it was Christmas night. They were drinking. They were playing cards. He took that letter and put it in his coat pocket. A letter of warning that someone had seen Washington's army making their way down. Washington arrives in the city. They rout the Hessians. They put Colonel Rall and his crew to the flight. Colonel Rall dies that morning in that battle. And when they went to his body, they found that letter that was a warning, that had he just read that letter of warning and not put it off and neglected it, he could have easily won that battle, saved his life, and may have even stopped the spirit and the momentum of Washington's army at that time, and sent many men back to their home saying, this is an impossible cause. I don't know, but I do know this. He failed to heed a simple warning. And it wasn't like he took that letter and ripped it up and threw it away. No, he just said, I'll get to that here in just a little bit. And I'll get to that in a little bit. And that's what we have in our passage here in Proverbs 24. Someone that they know they've got a responsibility to do, but they say, I'll just get to that in a little bit. Just a little bit longer. One more time with the old famous snooze button. Just a little bit longer. And a little bit grew, like neglect can grow if it's not addressed. In the Bible, we have several things that were neglected. But I'll just share this with you. Turn, if you would, a couple chapters later to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. Proverbs 29, verse 15. There are some things we dare not neglect in our lives. Proverbs 29, 15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. As parents, we dare not neglect the privilege and the responsibility that we have to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. And very often, I know myself as a parent, there were times when the Lord really worked on my heart. And at the end of the day, the Lord would say, you know what? You had an opportunity to really spend some time with your daughter there today, but instead you were listening to this baseball game. Not that listening to baseball is bad. I'm not saying that. But if we're not careful, things can crowd out the most important things in our life, the most meaningful things. Time, real time with our children while we still have them, because soon enough they are grown and they're older and they're out of our house. We need to tend to those responsibilities and not neglect them. There was a man in Colossians 4, verse 17, named Archippus, and Paul had to write to him and say, tell him to take heed to his ministry, that he fulfill it. He's letting his ministry slip. And what is ministry? Ministry's people. People were being neglected because Archippus wasn't tending to his ministry. Maybe he was becoming less faithful in what he was given to do. Maybe he was neglecting, I don't know, to prepare for his ministry. I see the junior church kids go, and for 20 plus years, I had third and fourth grade junior church every Sunday morning, and I loved those times. But I do know this, after being at it for 20 years in a row, it was an easy temptation for me to just go through the motions in that, because I've done this so many times. I've sung the same songs, done the same verses, told the same stories. And the Lord had to work on my heart and convict me when I did take a Sunday and just go through the motions, because it's not just any Sunday. Every Sunday is an opportunity. Every time we stand before someone is an opportunity for the Lord to do a unique work in their heart. But it's easy to neglect the ministries. It's easy to neglect opportunities. The Lord gave us a parable where he, picture of himself going away, and he leaves some talents. He leaves some responsibilities, opportunities with some guys. One got five, one got two, one got one. The guy that got one didn't say, I don't want to do anything with this. I'm tired of this guy being my Lord. He didn't do that. He just said, I'm going to take this opportunity, this talent, and I'm just going to put it in the ground. Well, the Lord came back, and he had to face his Lord. And he had, the Lord had to say to him, what did you do with the opportunity that I gave you? And the man, in essence, had to say, I neglected it. And the Lord said, take that from him and give it to the one that took his opportunities seriously. The Bible warns us about neglecting the most important thing, salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Hebrews 2:3. The Lord offers salvation, and so many people have heard the message of salvation, and they've not said, no way, I don't want anything to do with that. Many people just say or think, I'll get to that later. I've got something else more important in the meantime. I got some things I want to do before I make that decision. Well, how many people have ended up in the same situation for their eternity by neglecting the offer of salvation as those that all out rejected it? See, whether we neglect it and just put it off or reject it completely, eternity is the same for us. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. So if you are in the hearing of the gospel, let me encourage you, and you've never made that decision to turn from your sins and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, make that day today. Today is the day of salvation. The Lord's offer is here in this church today for you to be saved. Don't neglect your opportunity for salvation. And then certainly there is a call for those that do know the Lord to be involved in the harvest that is white. Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They are white already to harvest. Don't say, 4 months from now I'll get to that. Sometime later I'll get to that. No, the opportunity is right now. And Jesus demonstrated that, because as he said that, he was beside a lady who had had 5 husbands, who was not married at the time, but he took his day to sit down beside her and to share the gospel. And she not only got saved, but she brought all the people she knew out to hear and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is telling his disciples, don't say it's somewhere else, it's far off. No, the people are all around us. The harvest is white, and it's ready. It's ready right now. I had a cousin pass away back about 10 years ago, about this time of the year. And he was 46 years old, very healthy, wealthy, lived in California, great job. Loved to be on the, do exciting things. He and his wife climb the Grand Canyon and things like that. And about mid-December, he's having some bad symptoms, went to the doctor. The doctor said, it looks like you've got the beginnings of cancer. I think we've caught it early enough. After a couple weeks, he realized they hadn't caught it early enough. And soon after the new year, that cancer was so aggressive, he was in the hospital about to die. His dad flew, my uncle flew out to see him. And his last words to my uncle were, I had my whole life planned out, and now none of it's going to happen. Well, and sadly, as far as I know, he was one that neglected that call of salvation and neglected that. He had just things he wanted to do in this life that were so important. He neglected the most important things. And then his time was up. I close with this. Neglect alone is enough to ruin a man. A man who is in business need not commit forgery or robbery to ruin himself. He has only to neglect his business, and his ruin is certain. A man who's lying on a bed of sickness need not cut his throat to destroy himself. He has only to neglect the means of healing, the medicine, and he will be ruined. A man floating in a boat above Niagara Falls need not move an oar or make an effort to destroy himself. He has only to neglect using the oar at the right time, and he will certainly be carried over. Most of the calamities of life are caused by simple neglect. So what's the remedy for neglect? Recognize these areas and care to them, tend to them right away. If it's our responsibility of raising our children, redouble our efforts and our understanding of how important that is in the time that we have to raise our children for the Lord, to teach them and train them consistently. If it's an opportunity to serve God, just jump in and serve God. Volunteer, get started, and stay at it, because opportunities come and they go. And certainly, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't neglect so great salvation. The opportunity may come again, but it may not. Opportunities may not return. And let me encourage you today, what a blessing it would be if you're here today, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, to leave this auditorium with that wonderful, wonderful assurance of your eternal home. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have here in your house. We pray, Lord, as we look into your word, that this matter of neglect and the remedy of it would be understood and, Lord, would be acted upon. If there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. I pray, Lord, that they would respond during this time of invitation or even after the service to catch one here and to get this matter of their eternal destiny settled before there's not another opportunity. Lord, those that know you, I pray that our opportunities to raise our children, Lord, to be faithful to you, be in the business of giving the wonderful gospel to lost souls would not be something that we delay or procrastinate on or neglect, but rather, Lord, that we take care of that and be involved in that consistently every day. We pray, Lord, you'd use this time of invitation in hearts, Lord, in a way that you see fit in each life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.